Good evening. Good to see everyone again. If there's new faces here, we just discussed a little bit about the ministry that the Lord's given us this last year in Ecuador. We were blessed to have some individuals in our family help pay for plane tickets to bring us home for a few weeks so our kids could go to church camp. I could visit my family and Holly could visit her family down here. And so we're very thankful for that. It's been very refreshing, and people allowing us to use their vehicle, stay in their home. It's a great blessing, and so thank you again for that. I did write down a few things as I was thinking at the lunch table today that I might have not mentioned. They may be of importance or not concerning the possibility of coming down, taking a trip. The airplane ride from Atlanta to Quito is only 4 hours and 50 minutes. So it's not a super long ride. Most of the flights that come in from Atlanta into Quito don't arrive till about 11:30 at night, 12 o'clock at night. My wife carries a roll of toilet paper everywhere she goes. In Ecuador, in the public restrooms, they don't have toilet paper. and if they do provide it, you have to pay for it. Whether it's dispensed out of a machine or somebody's just sitting there collecting money so you can use the bathroom and also get toilet paper from them, about 15, 25 cents. They do run taxis up the mountain. Oftentimes it's trucks, and people just ride in the back of the truck, and they got poles that they just kind of hang on as they go up the mountain. Everybody, all of the young and even the older folks up on the mountain, they do wear rubber boots because the ground is very rich. The soil, when it rains, it really holds that water in. You never know what it's going to do up there, so that might be something that you'd consider packing. If you have a pair of boots, that's fine. But if you can pick up a pair for $5 or $10 from the Walmart, that would be something to think about too. Ecuador is not, where we're at, it's not hot like this here. We've sweat so much. There's also, rarely do you walk into a business or establishment and find AC or heat. Everything is concrete and tile. The buildings warm up during the day. In the evening time, they cool back down. So remember a light jacket. We always make sure when we leave the house to bring a light jacket for the purpose of it. It could get cool. It could start raining. You just never know what could happen. For those that would be using a bank card, you want to notify your bank that you're leaving the country and that you'll be using that in another country, specifically Quito, Ecuador. Nobody takes anything greater than $20 bills. And so as much as we have bought and sold within the country, it's all been $20 and less. When I return, I'll be bringing $9,000 in 20s. In a fanny pack, close to my body. When we first left, I brought $8,000 in 20s. And even in our town in El Quinche, sometimes it's hard to change a $20 bill. People just don't deal in a lot of money there. It's good to have fives and tens, or even singles. We do have a local phone in our home, so if you don't have an unlocked phone, you might not be able to use it down there. Wi-Fi, it might connect. I'm not sure how that works. But if people need to make phone calls back to the States, we have a Vonage phone, and so it's still our local Indiana number that we used. And there's checkpoints. Those sometimes can be a little intimidating, whether it's the police. Well, the police is one entity, and then they have what's called the Tránsito, which is another entity. They kind of deal more with the road system and the highways. But then the military does checkpoints too. We've never had to stop at a military checkpoint, and most of the checkpoints that we've been through, they see that we're American, they wave us on and let us go right by. So just some other things that I thought about that I didn't mention. Was there any other questions that maybe somebody thought of? I know your pastor asked me to ask that if anybody had any other questions that needed to be answered tonight. We will be with Rick probably for the next 3 days, maybe, I think, something like that. And so he's going to be asking a lot of questions. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. We've already been talking about planning some type of theme, VBS, some kind of vacation Bible school, having maybe some hoodies, some bags, different things that might match what we can bring up into Ecuador. And so, but he should be well informed about most other things that we'll talk about. But is there anything I can answer tonight that anybody thought of? Did anybody go home and get online and watch the video? Amen. All right. It'll give you a glimpse into Ecuador. By the way, on my phone, I do happen to have pictures of the hotel I mentioned. I showed it to some folks a little earlier before service. If you'd like to see that, I'll show you. It's actually not that bad for $7 a night. And they may even give us a discount where you get it for $5 or $6 a night. So the plane ticket's going to be the biggest expense. And next to that would be your passport and then money for food and spending money if you want to buy some trinkets or doodads to bring back. So, anything? If not, we can get right into the Word of God. Okay, well, let's do that. If you have your Bible this evening, please turn to the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon. We were at church camp all last week, and so this thought was running through my mind as I'm counseling these children. It was junior camp. By the way, I did have one kid come up and tap me on the shoulder at about 1 o'clock in the morning and wanted to talk about salvation. And so Lord was working on his heart. I spent probably the next hour with him answering questions, going through the Bible, preaching the gospel to him. I really wanted to be sensitive to find out where he was at and what he understood. And by the end of the conversation, I just kind of encouraged him, you know, just keep an open heart, go back to your bunk, think about these things, and you can respond. You can respond tonight. You can respond tomorrow. You can, you know, you might respond next week. I don't know exactly where you're at or where, how far God has brought you. And he said, well, I know what I need to do, and I want to do it tonight. And so he bowed his head and asked God to save him. And so, Lord willing, we can see some good fruit from that. He's actually a young man that's been coming to the church. By the way, our church will be celebrating its 200th year anniversary, Grants Creek Baptist Church. 200 years in November, they're going to have a big service. And so if you'd like to take a trip up there, I call it the Promised Land, southeastern Indiana. It's beautiful. Church sits back in the country there. You can come visit. They're going to have a revival service, some preachers. There's going to be a dedication of a plaque. Because we have some very historic roots from some early Baptists that came from Virginia through Kentucky on up into Indiana. And so that's a blessing too. Something that I probably won't be able to attend, but nonetheless, it'll be in my thoughts and prayers. So this thought was on my mind here. I've had a lot of time to reflect. After being a pastor for 7 years and then going on deputation for about a year and then being on the field for a year, and I don't know if I'm just getting older too, but I've just been thinking about time and what I have accomplished in my Christian life, and if I've been used to the greatest of my ability, and if I've been yielded to the greatest of my ability, if I have done everything that God has asked of me, or even more. And so this thought came to my mind here at the end of verse 6 in the Song of Solomon. Chapter 1 in verse 6, it says, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. And that thought was running through my mind throughout camp and not having much time to sit down and write a lot of thoughts down, because we go from sun up till sundown busy, and then running straight from there Friday down here. But I had some time yesterday at the hotel to write some of these thoughts down that I've been thinking about throughout the week about this. And so that's what I'd like to share with you tonight. The idea here I want to focus on is, my own vineyard have I not kept. And I pray that the truth will be very clear and concise. I won't keep you long tonight. I understand it's been a long week. It's been a long day. It's been hot. We're tired. But God has something for you tonight, if you would just be open to it. That is my prayer. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I ask that you would bless the word of God tonight. The words that come forth from this pulpit, may it find a heart that is ready to receive and Lord, ready to be reproved and convicted, ready to be challenged, ready to respond. Father, as we talk about our own personal vineyard, I pray that we would be honest with ourselves before Thee tonight. That we would not be looking at our neighbor, thinking about the individual that's not here tonight, or that this would be good for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, Lord, but that we would just look into our own hearts and humbly bow before this truth. Father, I've seen in my own life when there's been times when the vineyard has not been in ship shape, where it has not been kept to where it would please Thee. Forgive me, Lord, for where I have failed You. Father, may this truth revive us and revitalize us in our Christian walk. May it cause us to want You to enter into our vineyard, to be pleased with what You see. And Father, by Your help, I pray that this truth would be clear tonight. May You receive all the glory and honor for what's said. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I'd like to look at about two or three verses of Scripture before we begin, just to get an idea of where we're going. We see here that the Bible is mentioning something about a vineyard. This individual is saying, my own vineyard have I not kept. Let's turn now to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. You don't need to keep your place there in Song of Solomon. Isaiah chapter 5, we see here this is a message to the house of Israel, but nonetheless, the principle behind this truth applies to you and I as New Testament believers. Isaiah 5, just the next book over here, verses 1 through 6. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now, go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned, nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. A lot of these words in this verse we're going to bring out again later on. What do we see again here? We see something about a vineyard, and we see something about ground, and we see something bringing forth. John chapter 15, please, in the New Testament. John chapter 15. There's many places in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, that we can go to have you understand this idea, the parable of the sower, if you're familiar in the four Gospels, where the sower went forth to sow, and some fell along the wayside, and some on stony ground, and some among the thorns, and some on good ground. The wheat and the tares is another. The fruit of the Spirit is another. Psalm chapter 1, a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth fruit. Here in John 15, in verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 5, He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Verse 8, Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Jesus said in Matthew 15, verse 13, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. So we see in these few places of Scripture, and not to labor on this point, is the Christian life is about cultivation and growth. It's about producing something, because a Christian is a living organism. Hence the scriptural examples that we just read. We've been quickened together with Christ. We're alive in Him, and we are to be continually growing and conforming into the image of Christ. And we're going to see that this takes effort on our part. It takes attention. If anybody's familiar with a garden, you know the work that's involved in the garden, from finding the place to the garden and tilling up the ground and removing the rocks and planting the seeds and hoeing around the plants and the weeds that continuously come up and the attention that needs to be paid to this plot of ground. Why? Because you want it to produce something. It takes a lot of effort. In our Christian life, we are going to have to put some effort into it. We can't just sit back and hit the cruise control and expect to become great Christians. Expect our life to produce something. We need to be on top of our game at all times. Like an elite athlete. How much more as an elite Christian? You see, the natural or the old man tends to decay, not towards life. And we're fighting the world, the flesh, the devil. Everything around us seems to be anti-Christ. And the quote-unquote best of us need to take heed lest we fall. You're going to find out tonight as we preach about the unkept vineyard that all of us at times have fell prey to this. And your vineyard tonight may be unkept. Maybe as we preach, we'll expose some things that you can make right. And you can pay closer attention to. Why? Because your Lord loves you and wants you to produce something. Because you should have a heart to want to please the Father. The quote-unquote best of us are susceptible to neglect. And just like the person in our text in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6, we too have unkept vineyards. Some this evening, your Christian life has been neglected in many ways. You have not paid close attention to it. And this is easy to do in our day and age. With the advancement in technology and the social media and our jobs and our families and sports and practice this and that and here, there, and everywhere as fast as we can, never taking a moment to just stop. I've had a moment to just stop and think about some of these things, and God smote my heart. And I pray He'll do the same to you. Would you tonight be ashamed to have your Lord enter within the walls of your vineyard? Is there things that He would see that would not be pleasing to Him? You say, but preacher, I go to church. I understand you go to church. Amen. You're here tonight. Praise God. It's a Sunday night. It's hot. It's a holiday. You could be doing many things. I understand you do Christian things. I understand you say you're saved. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. We're not talking about what people may see on the outside of our wall. We're talking about what's within the walls. Because that's what God sees. God sees the heart. Man sees the outward appearance. And we all can put on a good show. The Pharisees were whited sepulchers, but within they were full of dead man's bones, the Bible says. So let's go a little deeper. What is eternal life all about? Well, John 17:3 says, and this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God. That they may know Thee, What am I living for? Am I living to know Him and to please Him and to bring glory and honor to Him? How well do you know Him tonight? What kind of relationship do you have with Jesus? Or is it just an outward, manufactured, going through the motions type relationship? How's your heart tonight? This is where we want to look, because this is where God looks. Are we striving to give our best to the Master? Are we living a holy and pure life? Are we in communion with Him? It's easy to go through the motions. From the preacher to the piano player to the Sunday school teacher to the individual in the pew, we all can go through the motions. We all can get caught up, as we may say. We all can have unkept vineyards. You can be saved tonight, yes, but not sanctified, living a holy and pure life, and God needs to rebuke you for that. And we need to get our heart right and say, no longer. You can be saved tonight, but not separated. And you're allowing all kinds of evil to enter in to the garden, to the vineyard. Your standards can be compromised. You can be saved tonight serving others, but not really serving God, because you're neglecting your vineyard. What did it say in Song of Solomon 1 and verse 6? Said, my own vineyard have I not kept. So let's turn our attention to our own vineyards tonight. Let's get honest with God tonight. Let Him search and try our ways and reveal unto us what He sees. Let our hearts be open to His Word and respond to His reproofs. You see, the Word of God is the Word. It's given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Three out of the four carry a negative connotation with them, meaning we might not be as good as we think we are. Meaning we may need to hear from God to challenge us, to shake us up a little bit, to bring us back into the right place, to clean up our vineyard so we can really have fellowship with Him. Habakkuk 2:1 says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what He will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. You see, he had the idea that I might not be as right as I think I am with God. And I'm going to watch and I'm going to listen. And when He speaks to me, what will I answer when I am reproved? So, the unkept vineyard, amen? Let's look at that for just a few minutes tonight. You see, having a vineyard equals responsibility. Having any type of field, there is work and energy and effort and time that needs to be put into this field here. It needs care and maintenance. And there's no difference in our Christian life. But too often times we go forward on what we have accomplished in the past. And we still think because we've done some things in the past that we're still right with God in the present. Or because we used to pray a lot, or we used to read our Bible a lot, we're okay right now. Or because we used to attend all the services, now we just maybe miss one service, we're still right with God. We used to have a passion for souls and handing out gospel tracts and sharing our testimony, and now maybe, you know, we just try to do a lifestyle evangelism and live it in front of them. That, yes, that's important, but they also need to hear. The Lord told Peter to tell Cornelius words whereby he would be saved. He didn't tell Peter just to go and live a good life in front of Cornelius. He had to hear something. So where are we at? You see, God has entrusted us the care of our Christian life. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And if we were to just pause and think of that for a moment, what do we allow into the sanctuary? Would we allow it into this sanctuary? Well, everybody can see there, but nobody can see here. Listen, if you're a Christian, you have a responsibility, amen? If you're a father, I'm sorry, if you're a husband, you have a wife to lead. If you're a father or a mother, you have children to lead. If you're a pastor, you have members to answer for. If you have any part or place of a position of authority, not only do you have yourself, but others. Because in my vineyard, yes, it's mine, but I have a wife. I have children. And tonight I see two reasons why our vineyard decays. Number one, sin. And number two, service. You say service. Sin and service. Sin because of neglect and laziness, and not recognizing our responsibility to keep ourselves clean. No time and attention and effort put into our Christian life, and the vineyard decays. But also, number two, service. Neglect through helping others. Preparing others and not ourselves. Cultivating others and not ourselves. And that's easy to do as a pastor, as a missionary, as a mother. You neglect your own personal Christian life because you're putting time and energy and effort into another. And that's exactly what the woman in Song of Solomon said. They made me keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard have I not kept. And you know what? If I can't keep my own vineyard, how can I ever keep anybody else's vineyard? Pretty soon, it's not going to be worth anything. I'm going to be worthless. And in positions of authority, parents with children, pastors, missionaries with people, in our own Christian life. So one of these may apply to you tonight. And the look in the unkept vineyard will apply to both. Because through service, you can neglect your own. And through sin, you can neglect your own. We need to find a balance if we're serving. And if we're sinning, we just need to repent and make it right. You could be either way too busy or way too lazy. I don't know. You know, and God knows. So when we look at the word unkept, the definition here in the Strong's Concordance, all we see in Song of Solomon 1 verse 6 is the word kept. And it was interesting when I looked that up, it says to guard or to cherish. So something that is such as this vineyard, unkept, it's unguarded or uncherished. That's interesting. This will open up the idea that we're trying to present tonight to a greater magnitude. The Webster's 1828 dictionary says, not honored or fulfilled, as in an appointment. And the one that we're probably familiar with is not tidy or cared for. But all of these make sense, don't they? And we can draw applications from them. So when we look at the unkept vineyard, what do we see first? The first thing we would see is the hedge or the walls that are broken down. Why would the hedge or the wall be broken down? Because it was not maintained. Because it was not cared for. What does that wall do? That wall creates a boundary. Amen. We need boundaries in our Christian life. That wall keeps unwanted things out. Amen. And it keeps anything that is within, in. Gates are good. Walls are good. Separation is good. It's not an end, but it's a key. It's a means to an end. Unwanted visitors, thieves, little foxes that spoil the vine. When we look at an unkept vineyard, we see a wall that has been broken down. Maybe the keeper of the vineyard noticed it and didn't think it was that big of a deal. You see, there's things that we see in our everyday Christian life that we may think, well, it's not that big of a deal. And then we begin to compromise, and that wall begins to crumble even more. And we may still notice it and think, oh, well, now I've already gotten this far, or I've allowed this into the vineyard, and to get it out now, it's going to take a lot of effort. So we just allow it to stay within. When it should have been removed right away, or the wall should have been maintained in the first place. And it's difficult to keep standards in this day and age, isn't it? Parents with your children, in the things that they can see, in the things that they can hear, in the places that we can go, we need to keep things out. We don't want them in our vineyard. What happens is we then begin to compromise, and man, that hole just opens up. And the enemy just comes in like a flood. And that's just the beginning. Because then there's going to be damage caused to the things which are precious to us. Those tender vines and plants. The ground that needs to be tilled. The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Some today need to stop and think, look how far I have fallen from my standards, my biblical standards. Now, if your standards aren't biblical and it's your own conviction, it's your own conviction. But we're talking about biblical standards. Look at what I've allowed into my life that maybe I wouldn't have allowed last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, wherever you're at in your Christian life, whether you're young or whether you're old. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24, this is the story about the man that goes by the field of the slothful, and look what he sees. Now remember, this applies to both individuals, whether you're just too busy taking care of others' vineyards and your own wall begins to collapse because you're trying to reach other people so you compromise your own standards, or whether you're just in sin and you're lazy and you don't care and you think, well, that's not going to hurt. Well, that's not too bad. Proverbs 24, verse 30, the Bible says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. You see, we can receive some instruction tonight if we just stop and look at where we're at and what we're doing in our Christian life. That wall, that hedge is vital to our Christian life. You know, you see what happens in some of these other churches when they drop some of their standards. And then how it permeates through the pulpit to the people, to the community. It all starts with that aspect of separation. It's good to keep things out. It's good to keep things away. Because we have a responsibility. We have to care and maintain that wall. And when we see that it may have decayed in one area, we need to recognize what has come in because of that, remove it, and repair that breach. And know that, you know what, the wall is going to start crumbling over here, and we're going to have to go back over here and start repairing, and it's going to be a constant effort to maintain separation. But how important is it for us in this day? It's very important because everything seems to be going down real fast. Real fast. So we see that broken down wall in the unkept vineyard, the hedge that has been destroyed, and things just can come in and out freely as they choose. And before long, we're just overrun. And we wonder, how did I get to this place in my Christian life? Why did I allow those things? If you recognize it, just repent. Amen? Don't think that it's, oh, you can't get anything done and you can't do this. Listen, we have a God that will forgive you. Amen? Just confess and repent. Get it out, repair that breach, and live for God. Amen? What else do we see when we look into the unkept vineyard? Well, we see unplucked weeds, amen? We see weeds that have overtaken, and the illustration already showed us that thorns and nettles and thistles and all these things are just growing up in the garden, in the vineyard, in the field. What does this teach us? Our priorities are wrong. Our priorities are wrong. Because the Bible says that the seed which fell among the thorns, that the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. And that's what happens. We get entangled with this, that, and the other, and we can't even maintain what we're doing for ourselves in our Christian life. Because we're so busy going here and going there and going everywhere, whether it's because we're just worldly, or whether because we're serving, we're too busy to even stop and pray and study the Bible for ourselves and memorize Scripture for ourselves and take time to look within. And we might think, well, it's just a little thing and it starts growing up, but man, those little things can grow fast. I mean, I've planted a few gardens. It's amazing how fast something can come up overnight. Think if we neglect it for a few days. And yes, it takes effort. You're going to have to go back in there and start hoeing and plucking and weeding and pulling. But it's worth it, right? This isn't our vineyard. It's the Lord's. We've been entrusted with this Christian life. And we need to live it for Him. Weeds get into every garden. They get into every life. They just need to be plucked and removed. Amen. Thoughts come into our head. Doubts and fears and sin. And it just needs to be taken out. Amen. It doesn't need to be meditated upon and thought upon and let the wickedness start growing in our life. No, just remove it. Remove it at the first sign. Because it'll bring pain and distress in your life. Thorns prick. They hurt, and we don't want that. The ground is cursed, the Bible says, and it brings forth thorns and thistles. We don't want that in our Christian life. And if we don't take care of it, they're going to grow stronger, and they're going to take over, and they start wrapping themselves around our vine. What's happening? We're losing traction in our Christian life. We have the wrong priorities. We put everything before God. We know when we're to be in church, amen? You have the service times. Just make it a point to be there. We know that we should wake up and read our Bible, spend some time with the Lord and pray. And every time we don't, because we have another thing come in our life or something is always so pressing in our life that needs to be attended to right away. Well, remember, we're Christians, and our Christian life needs to be attended to first and foremost, and right away, so we can be a blessing to others throughout the day. Remember Mary and Martha? Martha was just cumbered about with much serving, and she said, Jesus, you know, tell my sister to get up and help me. And He said, no. He said, she's chosen the right thing. She's chosen the good part. Many things are pressing, but this is important. Amen. So we see the unplucked weeds, and you get a little closer and you start looking at these vines, and I think of, we're going from a vineyard to a garden now, the tomatoes, they get those things, those suckers as we call them. on the vine, don't they? And what do you have to do? You have to pull them suckers off. And you pull those little suckers off so that more nutrients and juice can go to the fruit. So you can have a great big old tomato, amen? Well, what is it? What are suckers on the vine? Suckers on the vine is like sin in our life. And it sucks and it drains the nutrients. It sucks and it drains the life of Christ in us. And we just let it grow. We know it's there. Listen, in the book of Jeremiah it says, as for our iniquities, we know them. Each one of us, we know what our besetting sin is at any given time and what we're currently dealing with. Let's just get the victory over it, amen? Just pluck that thing off. Just get rid of it. Others may not see it, but we know. And we need to be careful because we might just become accustomed to seeing it in our life. And, oh, it's just that thing that I deal with. It's just that sin that I deal with. Well, let's get some victory over it, amen? Just pluck it off. Get rid of it. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which just so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience which is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Confess and repent of the sin in your life because it's part of this unkept vineyard, because the kept vineyard is plucked. Amen? It's pruned. There's no weeds because the owner is tending to it. The wall is maintained. We were driving somewhere here in Kentucky and we saw a house and my wife mentioned, wow, look at that landscaping, how nice it is. And that helped me along with this thought because, yes, it was maintained. Somebody spent some money and some time and some effort in maintaining that. It's difficult. But this is our Christian life. So we've seen the broken wall. We've seen the weeds. We've seen the sucker on the vines. What about unplowed ground, hard ground, stiff ground? It's not going to produce anything. It's because there's no confession and repentance in our life. Our hearts have become hard and we're not turning up the soil and we're not breaking up those clods of dirt so they can get some fresh water and they can get some oxygen, amen? The Word of God and prayer. And we just continue. And we know the sucker's there. We know the weeds are there. We know the wall is broken down. And our heart becomes hard to the things of God. Listen, your heart may even be hard right now because you know these things are true. And I knew some of these things were true. And you want to fight against it. But you know what? You're not going to win. Just let God have the victory in your life. Break up your fallow ground, amen? Let's turn that dirt over. You can tell the difference, amen, from hard soil and soft soil, especially if you have a garden and you till it up. Why do you keep tilling those rows up? Because you want it aerated. You want it to breathe and to have life and to receive that moisture. And get the heat from the sun. And we need that in our Christian life. And so listen, harden not your hearts, the Bible says. Just confess and repent. What else do we see? We'll move quickly here. Not only is it we see unplucked weeds and unplowed ground, we see unfertilized soil. Unfertilized soil. What does fertilizer do? Fertilizer gives everything a boost. Well, we want a boost to our Christian life. We can get a boost, amen, when we get in the Word of God and we start reading it and we get a hold of the promises and we get challenged by the Word. We get challenged to live by faith. It's right here in the Scriptures. When we get on our knees and we pray and we have a sweet hour of prayer with the Lord and He washed my eyes with tears. It'll give a boost to our Christian life. We find ourselves in the church service under the sound doctrine and the preaching from the pulpit, and it gives a boost to our Christian life. Without the Word of God and prayer and in the church, nothing can grow. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And we need to exercise faith in our Christian life. We need to build ourselves up on our most holy faith through the Word of God. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. All these things are only made possible as we maintain our vineyard. How are you doing tonight? Do you see? Are you looking in your vineyard? Are you examining your heart? One more thing. One of the most important things in the vineyard is the wine press. The wine press. That's where those grapes go and they get squeezed out to make the juice. That which is pleasing to God. But some individuals' wine presses are producing bitter fruit. Because the pressure of life and problems, whether with your family or on the job or with friends, and trials, maybe physical or emotional or financial, have got you in such a squeezed up place in your life, you're bitter. And you may be angry with God. You're being squeezed. And you're facing adversity and hardship. But understand, God has a purpose in all of it. It's not to make you bitter, it's to make you better. Amen. He wants to partake of that sweet fruit, that sweet juice. Job said, "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." I don't know what you're going through tonight, but you're going through something. Everybody's always going through something. Don't get in that wine press and come out bitter. Come out better, amen. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Tribulation worketh patience. Whatever it may be in your life, you fill in the blank, amen. We're about done. So we've seen the wall of separation that's fallen down. We see the weeds in the ground, wrong priorities that have overtaken our Christian life. We see the suckers on the vine, the sin that doth so easily beset us, and we got to continually remove it from our life. We see the hard ground. Our heart has become hard because we're no longer confessing and repenting of our sins. We're just going through the motions. You may see the outside of the wall. And you may be looking at this side and this side and you don't see what's going on. The Word of God and prayer is not vital in our life. In the church service, we're not responding to the preaching. And so we're not being fertilized. And when we get into the wine press, we're bitter. Because the things that are taking place in our life. Listen, this is the truth, amen? So it's time to clean up our vineyard. It's time to make things right, amen? So number one, just recognize. That's the first and foremost thing that needs to be done. You need to recognize what's going on. And then repent. Make it right. Make it right. Remove those suckers. Remove the deadness. Remove the weeds. Remove those things that you've allowed into your life because you've compromised your standards on separation that has caused you, for the most part, to be in the situation that you're in, where you're not experiencing the full life in Christ. And once you've recognized and repented and removed those things, rebuild that wall. Get some good biblical standards again in your life. And yes, you may be made fun of. And yes, you may be called legalistic. And yes, things may not be as fun as they used to be. But you're right with God. Amen. Right. And then begin to regrow the plants in your vineyard. Regrow them. Get the Word of God out. Read it every day. Meditate upon it. Memorize it. Pray. It's one of two things why the vineyard is unkept. Because there's sin in your life, or because of service you've neglected your own. I don't know what it is for you, but you know what it is. And so tonight, let's make it right, amen. Let's give God our very best. Let's live for Him the best of our ability, and the grace of God will take us the rest of the way. Amen? Bless you tonight. I pray that you would respond. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. So we have a time of invitation. I pray that you would respond to what you have heard. We don't need to look around and see who's coming to the altar. Oh, somebody's got an unkept vineyard. You know what? Look in your own vineyard. It's unkept. And if it's not unkept, it can have improvement. Amen? So we all can confess tonight. God, help us with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father in heaven, we ask tonight that you would speak to our hearts now and impress upon us what needs to be done. Lord, impress upon us the importance and the urgency of this matter in our Christian life. We know not what hour you'll enter into our vineyard. Help us to be ready at all times. Help us to be clean and pure, holy and just and righteous and good, kind and compassionate and loving, forgiving. All these great virtues and graces. Help us tonight, Lord, to not just go through the motions and put on a nice outward show for everyone when we know deep down inside what's really going on. Pray, Father, that if there's one here who's never been bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they've been running wild in their own vineyard, it's time that you would plant them. I pray that they would respond to the truth that God loves them. He suffered, bled, and died for them. If they would just repent and believe the gospel, they too would be saved. And they then could be a workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Bless us now, Father, for what we've heard. Bless this invitation time with sincerity and honesty, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.